Messages concerning the Condor. Most messages and notices coming into the Wakwaha Exchange were held in short-term memory for about 24 hours and then self-effaced, as they were of practical and immediate significance. Notifications from other peoples of the region of goods and foods to trade, or changes in train schedules, announcements of festivals to which strangers were welcome, weather reports from the city satellites, and warnings of impending flood, fire, earthquake, volcanic eruption, or remote events which might affect local conditions. Occasionally, reports concerning human doings perceived as concerning the peoples of a large area were printed out on paper for circulation, and perhaps for preservation in the archives. The following reports are of this latter kind. They were kept in the archives of the Madrone in Wakwaha. Of course, all such records, along with all other data that passed through the computer network, either by human agency or as part of the city's process of existence, were stored in the permanent memory bank of the city, but the retrieval problem was considerable. Document 1. A notice concerning the Condor people, made and sent by Shorkey T. of Long Farms, with Willows of the Rekwit people. The annual council of the farms of Rekwit agreed that a report should be made and sent to all the exchanges in the westward drainage of the range of light, and all drainages into the inland sea, and all drainages into the ocean southward of the mouth of the Su-Nu. I was told to make the report since I proposed the idea. People in Rekwit think it important that we stop the Condor people from making trouble. You can get a summary of information concerning this people from the memory using codes 130-6611, 3116, 616, and 130-6611, 3116, 66442. This is a synopsis of that summary. They call themselves Dayao, or One People. They are related to people living in the Great Lakes area by language and may have been sent west from that area a long time ago. They lived as nomads in the grasslands and in the desert countries north of the Omorn Sea. About 112 years ago, they began to become civilized. A man named Kaspioda took their power. They followed him west towards the Dark River country. He died near the Dry Lakes. His son took his power and started to give it back, but was killed by a cousin, a man named Astyoda, calling himself the Great Condor. He led the people down into the lava beds, saying that a finger of light had pointed to the place where they should settle down. They made a town there. Their name for it is City. They have become entirely civilized, aggressive, and destructive. They have done much harm and will do more if we do not prevent them. A council is requested. Document 2. A response to the notice concerning the Condor people from Shorkey T. of Rekwit from Reeds of the Serpentine of the Valley of the Na. Your request is entirely appropriate. We have talked about it here and have seen that we have been self-concerned to an excessive degree and have wanted mindfulness. Condor people, all men without women, have been coming into this valley from the north for 17 years. We have shared food and roof with them at request, but have not worked, married, or danced with them. Nevertheless, much infection has taken place. Cults have arisen. When a large group of Condor men stayed in the lower valley for a half year, much dissension arose, superstitions were increased, and trust was weakened. If fighting a war is necessary, people will come from here to the fighting. If quarantine is possible, it would be better. We request the peoples living northwest of us and near the lava beds, and the information services of the exchange, to notify through the exchange of any aggressive acts by the Condor people. Document 3. From Vavats of Tahets concerning the Condor people. We have been fighting a war with these sick people for 2 lifetimes. From this point on, there was a flurry and then a steady cross-flow of messages through the exchanges of 22 different peoples of the region. Many of these were recriminatory or panicky. The bitterest was from Wemewe Mag, a village southeast of North Mountain. 2 years ago, they killed 11 people and stole 8 women and all the horses. They come every winter and take our food. If you try to fight them, you had better have guns and bullets. They do. Ethical counsel from the Underwhite Mountain people, far down the eastern coast of the Inland Sea, was not very well received. They advised, "Do not fight these sick people. Cure them with human behavior." To which Rekwit responded tersely, "You come up north here and do that." In the event, no war was mounted. If the Condor's city had made an attempt to increase its territory or to move its people southwestward, it would have met with concerted resistance by an alliance of all the people of the region. But the Condor dreams of empire were self-defeated. The causes of this collapse may seem obscure, particularly when the Condor people had all the resources of the exchange to call upon. For one thing, the Condor could, in theory, follow all the discussions and plans of the other peoples in the exchange. There was no classified information in the memory, and no way to seal information off. A coded message was accompanied by the explanation of the code. It would appear that the Condor's use of the exchange was very limited. Only a priest caste was permitted to use it at all, and they apparently drew upon it for information on material resources and technologies without listening in much on the local section of the endless flow of worldwide message sending. The Condor people seem to have been unusually self-isolated. Their form of communication with other peoples was through aggression, domination, exploitation, and enforced acculturation. In this respect, they were at a distinct disadvantage among the introverted but cooperative peoples native to the region. Again, it might be asked why they failed in their attempt to make powerful weapons of war, and why that attempt was so inept, when they had available in the memory of the exchange instructions for the production of every imaginable weapon, from Greek fire through machine guns to hydrogen bombs and beyond. Tempting answers come to mind. The great city of mind had decided long ago that such toys were not good for mankind and would not release instructions for making them. Or perhaps would release only garbled instructions, thus ensuring ineffective weapons. But the city of mind took no responsibility for its parent stock. If the humans got hold of nuclear weapons and blew up the planet, so be it. The deep space stations of the exchange would survive, each of them containing the memory and capable of replicating the rest of the network, and indeed a good part of the universe. Though if humanity did dispose of itself, there is some question whether the computer would see fit to duplicate it. It was not the city of mind, then, that kept the city of the Condor from success, with its tanks and airplanes. Undoubtedly, if asked, it would have produced for the Condor a study of what we would call the cost-effectiveness of tanks, airplanes, missiles, or other elaborate weaponry, and demonstrated the hopelessness of the project in the absence of the worldwide technological web, the technological ecosystem of the industrial age, and on a planet almost depleted of many of the fossil fuels and other materials from which the industrial age made itself. All that had been replaced by the almost ethereal technology of the city, on the one hand, which had no use for heavy machinery, even their spaceships and stations being mere nerve and gossamer, and on the other hand, by the very loose, light, soft network of the human cultures, which in their small scale, great number, and endless diversity, manufactured and traded more or less actively, but never centralized their industry, did not ship goods and parts far, did not maintain roads well, and were not engaged in enterprises requiring heroic sacrifice, at least on the material plane. To construct, say, a battery to power a flashlight was not an easy matter, though at need it was done. The technology of the valley was completely adequate to the needs of the people. To construct a tank or a bomber was so difficult and so unnecessary that it really cannot be spoken of in terms of the valley economy. After all, the cost of making, maintaining, fueling, and operating such machines at the very height of the industrial age was incalculable, impoverishing the planet's substance forever, and requiring the great majority of humankind to live in servitude and poverty. Perhaps the question concerning the Condor's failure to build an empire with its advanced weapons is not why did they fail, but why did they try? But it is not a question to which the people of the valley could provide an answer. Again, we may ask, Since the Condor had access to the principal iron, copper, zinc, and gold mines of the inland sea area, and did not scruple to take what they wanted by force, why did they not use their superiority in metals, not in a misguided effort to build anachronistic tanks and bombers, but in building up a good arsenal of guns, grenades, and other conventional weapons, until they were invincible among the almost defenseless and poorly armed peoples about them? Then they might truly have made history. To this, I think the people of the valley might have an answer, along the lines of, very sick people tend to die of their sickness, or destruction destroys itself. This answer, however, involves a reversal from our point of view. What we call strength, it calls sickness. What we call success, it calls death. Is it possible that the genetic changes worked by the residues of the industrial era upon the human race, which I saw as disastrous, low birth rate, short life expectancy, high incidence of crippling congenital disease, had a reverse side also? Is it possible that natural selection had had time to work in social as well as physical and intellectual terms? Were the people of the Na Valley and Rekwit and Fennin and the Amaranth Coast and the Cotton Islands and Cloud River and Dark River and the Marshes and the Range of Light in fact healthier than I realized? Healthier than I am capable of fully understanding, so long as I must look at them from outside their world? In leaving progress to the machines, in letting technology go forward on its own terms and selecting from it, with what seems to us excessive caution, modesty, or restraint, the limited though completely adequate implements of their cultures, is it possible that in thus opting not to move forward, or not only forward, these people did in fact succeed in living in human history with energy, liberty, and grace?